There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this gorgeous Friday. Cold, but beautiful outside. More from Dr. Bill coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll get an update from him. Also, SCOTUS right now here in the vaccine mandate challenge. We'll keep our eyes on, you know, if there, any kind of news leaks out. But they said maybe something by the end of this month on that. So we're watching that. And, of course, you know, it's the winter of death. So you, if SCOTUS moves that up, as President Biden told us, it was going to be the winter of death out there. So I don't know. They maybe need to speed the process up there at the Supreme Court. All right. And on today's show, hour number two, a subject we've talked about before, but there's now some legislation in Washington moving about questioning the bottleneck when it comes to beef production. Talk about how much, you know, hamburger is at the store or steak is at the store. And then the flip side of it, that producers, cattle producers, we're not getting anything even close to equivalent of that for the cattle that are being sold. Well, it comes back to this story, like during the pandemic, there are four meat packers that control 85% of the production in this country, a really tight bottleneck. And we'll talk more about that coming up with Erin Beasley. She's the executive director of Alabama Cattlemen. She'll join us at 1 o'clock. And starting off this hour, I don't know how to say this. I guess it's better than doing nothing. But I read the story this morning that Aldott Cruz, or it said, I think the news story from KRG said, well, they're doing something to help safety on Highway 45. They're scoring the highway for added safety. Got to tell you, I was unimpressed. And I figured the person I've talked to most about this and the man who has the eye on this and has for a long time, not just today, District 102 Representative Shane Stringer joining me now in studio to talk more about it. Good to see you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Scoring it. They're going to put some rumble strips in.
I'm disappointed, you know, if that's all we're going to do. You know, I know it's a baby step in doing something, and it's, I compare it to putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. I mean, this is, something's got to be done. You know, as you know, we had another head-on collision this morning. Lost a 16-year-old from our community, which is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
You know, I've continued myself and Brett Easterbrook from district in Washington County, Clark County, have brought this to the governor's attention, Aldott's attention. And
not just once, Representative. You've done this, and you had a presser last year. I mean, you've brought a lot of attention to this.
We've been on it for the last 3 years and really put a lot of pressure on it. Senator Jack Williams has helped us with it, and nothing. I mean, other than trimming some trees back and the rumble strips. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, my opinion, if this was in North Alabama, this would be a no-brainer. They would be laying pavement down at this time. So I'm asking the governor once again to please look at this. I'm asking the governor to come down here, ride 45 from the Mississippi line to Pritchard.
Yeah.
And if you don't think it needs it at that point, then that's fine. You got your opinion. But there's no way she will believe that if she comes down and rides that road.
Maybe like on a summertime, you know, the getaway Thursday or Friday, or even like this afternoon on a Friday or something like that. Get Director Cooper, get the governor, and you know, put him in my truck, and we'll go ride him up 45. Let's ride up to Yellow Pine and back or something like that, and see what they think.
I wish they would. You know, I keep hearing that there's more roads that meet the criteria in other parts of the states, but I just absolutely do not believe that. You know, and to sit here and let these family members continue to die, and our citizens are dying across Mobile, Washington, and Clark counties and up into Mississippi coming through, if they don't address this, I just absolutely can't believe that they can sleep at night knowing that this is going on and they're doing nothing to address it.
You know, you and I have talked about this over time. Yes, there are danger, and with your career in law enforcement, there's dangers and deaths on every road, be
That's
it
right.
65 or 10 or 43 or whatever. But the numbers you've rolled out and talked about, this is stats.
Yeah.
For how deadly 45 is. I don't know how there's other parts. There was a comment here from Aldott that basically was saying what you said. They said, at this time, Highway 45 does not rise to the level of the criteria to have to widen the roadway today. What? I mean, it's a fair. I'm just a guy, but what is the criteria then? How much deadlier does it have to get?
I would love to know. I would love them to tell me that, you know, show us that there's roads worse than this, because I don't believe it. From our information that myself and Brett Easterbrook has gotten, that is the deadliest highway in Alabama.
Bingo. So what are the criteria? That's where I'm at a loss, Representative, is what are the criteria? It is the deadliest stretch of road in the state, but it doesn't meet the criteria to have the widening done?
I don't understand it. You know, I'm sure if you were to meet with the teenager that got killed this morning, or any of the others that have lost their lives over the years, if you were to meet with their families, I think they would be pretty convinced that road meets the criteria.
You know, and it's a mix of traffic too. Something we've talked about, that it's people that are traveling long distances and people are traveling 500 yards all mixed together.
That's it. You know, you've got a lot of traffic from out of state coming in, going to our beaches during the summers and even during the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you got the Amazon shipping center, Walmart shipping center, the container terminal at the port, that's added a lot of traffic to it. It's a hurricane evacuation route. You know, we've gone through all of this, and it's absolutely suffocating Washington County and Citronelle, North Mobile County, to the point nobody. They're not growing. They're decreasing
right.
in population. The businesses are decreasing. They're suffocating that part of the state, and it's a time to do something about it and time to quit kicking the can down the road.
You know, is when the announcement came out of the expansion of, you know, to get 43 and to go up through to 69 and all that, I'm not against that. But that was talked about, what was going to develop businesses and do things there. That's fine and good, but if we're looking at a list of things more important, you just talked about economic impact, but we have the deadliest roadway in Alabama. We got a road that I won't let my daughter drive. I've told you this before. I won't let her drive to my family's farm, my in-law's farm. I won't let her drive it by herself. Yep. I let her drive other places, but not that road.
And you're not the first person that's, you know, said that or told me that. You know, there's a lot of people, including Senator Jack Williams. He says that he don't travel it unless he has to, and he don't allow his family to travel it. You know, unfortunately, my wife works in Saraland, so she has to drive it every single day. She drove up on the wreck this morning, and luckily she called and let me know she was okay before I had to worry about her.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just unacceptable. You know, I have another meeting with Director Cooper the first week of February.
Okay.
I have proposed to them to look at this as kind of a pay-as-you-go program. If the state cannot afford to do 60 miles of four-laning.
And 60 miles is from Pritchard to the state line?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yep, from Mississippi state line to Pritchard, Alabama. So I've asked them to consider looking at it in segments. You
mm-hmm.
know, the 20-mile segment from Pritchard to Citronelle is the deadliest part of 45.
Go after the worst section first.
Yeah, that's roughly 20 miles. Let's tackle that, and then let's look at the rest of it as we can afford it. But yeah. Something's got to be done.
Absolutely, something's good. And you've been on it for 3 years, and I'm going to continue to squawk about it. I'm looking at the text line now. A lot of people in here. Matthew said, I watched the interview on Channel 5 with the guy from Aldott. Aldott guys seem to blame people for collisions on Highway 45, said something like, well, we can't fix distracted drivers or drivers that cross the center lane. But those issues, I want to point out, exist on every road out here. And I'm pointing out a window here, y'all. But, I mean, we're here at Airport and 65. That distracted driving, those issues are horrible, but they're on every road. But for some reason, because of the size of the road and the traffic, 45 is deadlier because of that.
That's right. And I agree with them. I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into wrecks, and that is one of them. But I'll also say this. You've got roughly a 60-mile stretch of road with very few passing areas. And people get impatient.
Yep.
You know, they attempt to pass. Whenever they finally get that one little window of opportunity, they'll try. You know,
yeah.
I live in Citronelle. I travel to Mobile almost every day. And when I leave Citronelle, I have learned it is better just to stay in line and let everybody pass
because
you're not going nowhere. It's just too much traffic.
It's what I do when I run the road, too. I just, days of trying to get on down the road, just it isn't worth it safety-wise. But that's us controlling it. But you've got people impatient. You've got people that have been on the road for a long time. And you got people that aren't going real fast because they're just going, they're going from Gulf Crest up to Citronelle or something like that. I mean, they're not, you know, they're not getting after it. It's just, I don't know any stat that is more important than the deadliest roadway in Alabama, how that doesn't just open the conversation and say, this should be the number one project we're working on.
I agree, and I've been disappointed that Director Cooper and the governor's office has not taken a more serious look at this. You know, I know that they have the big picture to look at, the overall of the state, but when you're looking at the deadliest highway in Alabama, we're losing lives every day. We lost a 16-year-old teenager
child,
this morning. That breaks my heart. That makes me angry. That makes me furious.
It does me as well. And it should, even people who don't travel 45, to know that, if this was a road that I did not travel, I still would be engaged in this conversation because it's the deadliest roadway in Alabama. It's here in our backyard.
That's right. And they can't say that paving a portion of it won't make a difference, because we proved that when they paved a large portion of Highway 98,
mm-hmm.
Deadly 98. They paved most of it. There's, I think, roughly 7 miles left that's not four-laned. But since they have done that, the deaths have just – the fatality wrecks has just almost went away.
Now, think about that. There's a prime example. We're not theorizing. We're talking about fact for fact.
And you're talking about roads that are close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Highway 98 and Highway 45. If you were to pave – I believe with all my heart that if you were to pave – the worst 20 miles of 45,
expand it to
four lane,
okay,
and make that where people have passing area, and it'll make it to where you can, you know, if you have a mishap, you look down, you look up, you you blink, whatever.
Somebody hits a water patch and starts sliding.
It will give them time to react. There's just not a reaction time.
A lot of texts coming in here. This one... hey, Sean, why couldn't they section off the 60-mile stretch and expand the passing zones, maybe more of them to start with? But that's you're talking about picking the worst. That 20 miles is the worst. Now, you're still on board for four-laning the entire 60 miles, but start with what we can start with.
Well, I'm just trying to help them find a solution. I don't like bringing a problem to somebody if I don't have some ideas or solutions. And, you know, the solution, if they cannot afford to do the whole 60 miles at this time, then let's tackle it in segments and tackle the worst part first, and then go from there. And it don't matter to me where the first part is. It can be Washington County and Representative Easterbrook's district or my district, wherever. Let's save lives.
Yep.
This is about saving lives.
Well said. And this is another thing. So another thing is Celeste Road's becoming just as dangerous because people are bypassing 45 because it's so dangerous. I'm raising my hand as a guilty party there. I have chosen to go on up and come over on Celeste Road than coming up 45 the whole way.
Yep. And I had to do that this morning to avoid the scene. The road was blocked off from the wreck this morning. So that's very common, and we're picking up. The wrecks are picking up there, too, as a result.
Do this. We're going to come back more of this conversation. A lot of great texts coming in here, and we'll get those passed along to Representative Shane Stringer. This is something that we're talking about today, but unfortunately, we've been talking about for years and years and years. And hopefully, we have maybe get to a point that LDOT pays attention and does. Yes, they're doing the rumble strips. That's something, but Band-Aid for a bullet wound? Yeah, it sounds like it.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Representative Shane Stringer, my guest, talking about 45. Another deadly day on 45. LDOT says they're going to put some rumble strips on it. Look at here on the text line. Maximus says, Sean, It says, hey, Shane, I remember when I was a trooper in the late 90s, I worked a fatal by four involving a woman, her two kids, and her mother, a whole family up in Dead Man's Curve at the 22-mile marker. I'll never forget that. You know, but I mean, you've got Maximus's story plus your stories plus the stories that happened as late as today. And this, I think this excuse that it's distracted driving is a horrible thing, but it's going on everywhere, and it's not as deadly on these other roads as it is on Highway 45.
Yeah, I want them to explain that. You know, if they want to use that as an excuse, then what about the other roads? Why are they safer than 45?
And you, a great takeaway, you said when they four-lane 98 in those sections, the fatalities, I mean, you're just looking at stats here, they dropped.
Yes, they dropped almost over half.
Oh, my gosh. So there's a lot of people here asking questions. Matthew asked a question. This is part of the conversation you and I had off the air. He said, why can't Mobile County kick in some money to widen Highway 45? Mobile County has pay-as-you-go money. Use some of that money with state funds. Let's get it done.
Well, and that was one of the things that Director Cooper had mentioned to me at one time, seeing if the county commissioners in Washington and Mobile County would put some skin in the game, as he called it.
But whose road is that?
That's a state road. I mean, the state does not put in any skin in the game for the county roads to be paved and resurfaced and upkept. They have their own responsibilities.
Right.
This is a state responsibility.
I sit here and I keep repeating it. I want people, okay, let's talk about what people can do to help here. Who do they call? I mean, if people, the only people on the text line that are fired up about that, who do they call? Who do they get in the ear of?
I say call the governor's office. You know, let's light her phone up and let her know that this is serious, that we matter down here in the south part of the state. I mean, they have got to recognize us.
It's the deadliest road in the state.
Yes.
I mean, I don't think we need, I mean, that there's no nuance to that. The governor's office, Aldott office, should see that and go, okay, that's something.
Yeah. You know, you'd think they would. And as many times as myself and other legislators have met with them, you know, and not just us in the last 3 years, this has been going on for over 30 years. Yep. I mean, they keep kicking the can down the road. It is time that they spend, I mean, they're looking at doing the bridge to nowhere in Gulf Shores. Let's take some of that money and put on this project. Let's find some...
A road that exists already.
That's right. So there's projects across the state that could be skimmed back or cut back, and some of that money could be used toward this project. There is no excuse why we can't do it. We've got more money now coming in from the gas tax and everything else that's going on
there. ARPA infrastructure money?
Yes, the infrastructure money that the federal government's given out. Now is the time to address this.
If you wanted something, and I'll save a rant for a little bit later about money allocated from ARPA that now the feds say you can't use, but I can't imagine an infrastructure money from the feds, if you tagged it to a expanding lanes on the deadliest highway in the state, that the feds wouldn't say absolutely yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
There's no way.
That's right. I believe that. You know, it's...
Home run.
It's a done deal if you do it, in my opinion.
Home run. This is so many. Drewski says that trooper will never forget because he saw it. Montgomery only sees numbers. Plaster pictures all over Montgomery and make them see reality. See what happens then. You know, you and I have talked about that, but you had that presser with families that had been affected by 45.
And I've taken pictures of some of these wreck scenes with me to the meetings in Montgomery. So, you know, and I've actually even contemplated on just wallpaper in my wall in my office in Montgomery with the faces of the victims. So every time somebody comes in there, they'll see what we're dealing with down here.
You know what? I mean, nothing else has worked.
That's right.
Nothing else has worked. Let's see. As a member of this texture, as a member of the fire department in Citronelle for 47 years, we ran wrecks from Fruitdale to Oak Grove, and I still have visions of many of their deaths. That's Mike texting it. I mean...
And I've been a volunteer fireman for over 30 years, and I can understand where he's coming from. It's unbelievable, you know, and most of these are multiple fatalities when it happens. The wreck this morning was three victims, you know, one fatality so far, but the other two in critical condition. So this is widespread. I mean, you know, we lost the family last year right there in 8 Mile in this same stretch of road. I could sit here and name victim after victim after victim, but it would run out of time on the show.
Yeah. That is the truth. All right. Well, people, y'all get on the switchboard to the governor's office. Tell him you want something done about 45. Right now, we have a chance where we have additional funding coming in here. And we should, I'm going to say this, and then you could say, what you, we could do better than rumble strips on 45.
That's right. And I will be attempting to have another sit down or meeting with the governor. And once again, force our aggravation and frustration down here.
We'll keep it up.
Thank you.
Okay, good update. Representative Shane Stringer, thanks for your time. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Phone line and text line obviously open here. Bunch of text at 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this beautiful Friday out there. Hey, coming up just a little bit, my buddy Webb Jackson from St. Jude, Joy of Life Ball. We're 4 weeks out, I think, of from the Joy of Life Ball. Mardi Gras is on the way, so we'll be talking to him here in just a few. Also coming up next hour, Aaron Beasley for Alabama Cattlemen's Association is going to join us as well. Talk about, number one, the subject she and I have talked about several times, about the price of beef, basically, here at home. But also the story about, you know, that doesn't reflect what the producers are getting here in the state of Alabama. So we'll get in that conversation coming up at 1 o'clock, and legislation moving through in Washington about that. So we'll talk about that. I see we got okay, good. Seeing lights blinking in here, a lot of stuff going on in the studio. I think I can press this button and say hello to David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
I'm good. Let's talk about what's going on at LCM. How's inventory looking?
It's actually really good. This morning I've been sitting down going through all the inventory and checking to see what the books look like on everything. And a lot of our trucks we've got out here, we've got actually priced at wholesale, not retail.
Okay, I like that.
yeah, I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, the books have, you know, gone nuts on all this stuff, but we haven't changed our prices. We've kept everything just like we always do. We're not going to inflate it. We're just going to leave it like it is.
But y'all also, on top of that, have great rates on financing. A lot of choices.
There's rates as low as 1.79% right now on used cars.
Man, that makes a big difference.
That's free money.
Makes a big difference. Tell folks how to come out and see the inventory and talk financing with you.
We're on Highway 90 at Plantation at the red light. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068. LCMMotorCars.com or go to Facebook. Check us out.
Hey, David, thank you.
Have a good day, Sean.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, 1237. And, oh, yeah, somebody's asking the update. The update I had a conversation with Dale Leash from Land Yap about the squirrel story. Okay, and so he and I yesterday talked about the squirrel story. And I guess we had talked about earlier in the week as well, the squirrels of Bienville Square and the removal of the squirrels from Bienville Square. Then I get an email yesterday that said, you know, that I was doing what I've done before and only taking one side of the conversation. You know, they say I was being unfair in this, and I was just taking the human perspective to the squirrels of Bienville Square removal story, which is not what I'm trying to do, is not the plan. I want to get all sides of this. So I went ahead and said yes in the email and have booked our next guest to talk about this. And I guess still in Bienville Square right now. I don't think we're moved yet. Let's talk to a Bienville Square squirrel. Let's go to line two. Are you there? You there? I'm getting nothing from that squirrel. All right, can you see what line they're on? Having problem with the... Is it a squirrel issue here? What's going on here with this? I'm getting nothing. I don't know. Maybe they got cold paws and didn't do it. So I tell you what, we'll wait and see if we get an update. For some reason, I have nothing from the squirrels. Okay, listen. If we get the squirrel, I'm going to put the squirrel on hold. I know they're busy. If you put the squirrel on hold, let's see if we can get the squirrel back on. If you put him on, why don't you put him on line one? Hello. Yeah, for some reason we have lost We have lost the squirrel. I don't know. I tried, okay? I tried my best to get the squirrel back on. I tried to make this fair, and it's something's gone wrong. I don't know. We'll work on this. We'll work on this and see if we can get the squirrel on there. And once again, we're trying to make sure we get all sides of this conversation, get both sides of the issue here, not just the human perspective on the removal of the squirrels from Bienville Square, the 25 that are to be trapped. We also want to hear what it's like to be a squirrel. And okay, I'll give y'all one more shot. You say line one, okay? Line one. Let's go. We'll do it line one.
Hello.
Oh, wait. We got you. Right. Hello, squirrel. Thanks for calling in. You're a Bienville Square squirrel? What? I'm having your squirrel accent's a little tough for me.
I apologize. Yeah, it's just a little too high pitched for some folks. But dogs have no problem hearing me.
I can kind of hear you. So I got to ask you this: as your perspective as one of these squirrels, I don't know if you're going to be one of the ones that gets trapped or not. I guess that's up to you and how careful you are out there. But give me a little perspective on what it feels like. What are you hearing from the other squirrels in Bienville Square?
Oh, boy. Yeah, this is a biggie. You know, we've faced numerous threats over the years in Bienville Square, but haven't had the community coming after us like we have right now.
Now, do you feel you're being unfairly targeted? Do you think this whole discussion, it's y'all's fault that the oaks came down after the hurricanes? I mean, what's your feeling on that?
Yeah. When was the last time a squirrel took down a tree? Tell me that. This is all fake news.
You're saying it's fake news coming from the city of Mobile. Fake news.
That's right. And now, listen, buddy. You guys want to start something with the squirrels? Better be ready to finish it.
Wait a second. Are you threatening some kind of squirrel violence?
Listen. No. All I'm saying is you start coming after me and my squirrel buddies, get ready, because the nuts will start dropping from above. Pew, pew, pew. Acorn, pew.
That sounds violent. It sounds like a riot to me.
Yeah, well, call it what you want, but come after us, you better not miss. Listen, my granddaddy and his granddaddy have called Bienville Square home, and now because your little trees couldn't stand a little wind, you blame us?
If you're just joining us, talking to one of the Bienville Square squirrels, or I guess you're duly elected as a spokes squirrel for the group?
Yeah, I'm, first off, the only one that knows any English.
Oh, okay.
So, kind of, a George Washington situation here.
Gotcha. But you have the consent of the squirrels to be their spokes squirrel.
I believe so. We hold committee meetings every third Tuesday.
Okay.
So we had to wait a little while for our response, here I am, and I'm ready to roll. And the rest of my squirrels are ready to roll, too.
I got some questions here. Squirrel, would y'all consider, like lowering your numbers, just not having so many baby squirrels and seeing if that would happen, just to bring the numbers, what they're calling SPA, the squirrels per acre, to bring that number down?
Why don't you ask yourself that question? Then you'll have my answer. Do humans want to do the same? No.
Okay, so that's a no-go. So no reduction in population. By the way, what's the health situation with your fellow squirrels in there? I mean, I don't want to start problems, and I'm in a glass house, but I'm going to throw stones here. Y'all aren't exactly in triathlon shape, okay?
We're living the good life, and I think that's really why they want to move us on down the road or up the road. There's a reason my friends call me Fluffy.
Okay, let's talk about that movement. So the idea is they're going to trap about 25 of y'all and move you to a rural part of Mobile County. And so, I mean, don't any of y'all have the desire maybe to go live in the country? Doesn't that sound fun?
You know, some of the elderly squirrels have been talking for a few years about finding a nice spot to maybe put up a little house and a little tree, kick their feet up on the back porch.
But right.
Most of us squirrels that are still hustling, you know, grinding day to day.
Wait.
Bienville Square is where we like to grind. We're going to stay there.
Wait, so the downtown Bienville Square squirrels, y'all are on the hustle? You're on that grind?
You know it. How else in this economy?
Very true.
You know what they say? Mess with the squirrel, you get the big, cute squirrel teeth.
I think, you know, I'm bothered, Squirrel, that this is like the third reference to violence you've come with.
You started.
I didn't start anything. I'm just here talking to you, and you keep coming with some kind of angle here that you're gonna react violently over this removal of y'all from Bienville Square and a relocation to a beautiful part of rural Mobile County. Which
tell me more about this beautiful place they want to move us to. Have you seen it?
It's gorgeous. It's oak trees everywhere. A few pine trees there. Maybe you can even have them provide you with bird feeders full of, you know, bird seed to eat. I mean, I'll talk to the people with the with Mayor Stimson's office, see what I can get done.
I've been told about dogs and cats that have been taken to nice homes out in the rural county. We all know what that really means.
Well, so you're worried you're going to that farm where the dogs that disappear go when they tell the kids they're going to the farm? Is that what you're scared of?
That's exactly. And scared's the wrong word, bucko. We're ready. It's got me thinking about an
in-squirrel-rection.
Yeah, we're going to get started on that.
You know, the consistent theme with you has been violence, you know, and I don't know how much longer I can let this interview go on. I will say this. Would you consider this, if you're moved to a part of Mobile County, okay, and then just stay there for about a year and then get a... would you and the other squirrels, if you did that, be interested in annexing into the city of Mobile?
Interesting.
Like you would move out there, you'd set up the squirrel house, kick it, but soon there'd be a chance for y'all to vote on this. The Mobile City Council will give you a chance to vote on annexing into the city. You'd be back in the city of Mobile with all the services that are, you know, forthwith.
You know, if we are going to be forced out in the county, I don't see why need to pay any city taxes or services or anything like that. You know, if they do get us and move us out there, we want to live free, bro.
Okay, so you're saying that you would annex in, but you would not carry any of the city taxes in that squirrel zone.
Is that allowed?
I could work on it. I got to say, the one thing is, I will work on your behalf, but you have got to back down on this violence. I mean, you...
Well, it's all we know, bro. It's all we know. You know, seriously, though, there are some bad squirrels out here. Some that should be in squirrel jail. Unfortunately, because of the scamdemic, we're way behind in our squirrel trials.
Wait a second. You're saying that there are some dangerous squirrels that are out on bond right now?
Yeah, that's
It hits all sides. Okay, well, listen, I appreciate you checking in. I will get an update on y'all. I don't know when the traps are supposed to hit the ground. I don't know, you know, how tempting those peanuts and popcorn will be, but hopefully we get you back on before you get caught in the old have a heart trap.
That'd be great. Thank you for having me on. Hey, can I say a quick joke?
What's that?
How did the squirrel try to impress his date?
Okay, I know better than that. How?
He went out on a limb.
Okay, here we go. See, enough of you. Enough. Let's... Bimble Square Squirrel, check it in here on Midday Mobile. And then we might be right back. We might.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. And look over here and say hello to my buddy Webb Jackson from St. Jude Joy of Life Gulf Coast Ball and Parade. Good to see you, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Happy New Year.
You too.
You told me so. You and I were talking, I guess, yesterday, and you said, you know, it's like 4 weeks to the ball.
It's getting close.
It's a month out. I mean, Mardi Gras is, I mean, it's just here. I mean, it's fixing to start, and this is a great event. I enjoyed coming out. So the Joy of Life Gulf Coast Ball, tell folks about that and the parade.
Well, each year we've had a Joy of Life Mardi Gras Ball and a parade. Well, the parade just is only the fourth year, but this is our eighth year for the Mardi Gras Ball. It's a benefit for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. The king and queen of the ball are current and former patients of St. Jude. We have tastings from all over the different sides of the bay, Eastern Shore and Mobile. It's fully catered by Neiman's, and we have a live and silent auction as well.
I mean, you know, it's a very, very great ball to go to. I mean, it's a lot of fun. At the same time, You're raising money for St. Jude. I mean, there's the great benefit, and you get to see the king and queen, but really have enjoyed it. And he's underselling the food. It is awesome.
Yeah, this year we've got a bunch of new vendors are coming. Briquettes is coming this year. Mandina's is a new restaurant just opened up. Wenzel's obviously is coming back again as usual. And all the favorites that are there each year, they're coming as well.
All right. If people want to come out, I mean, plenty of people come out just as a couple, but I know companies get tables as well and get the whole crew out.
Right. We have sponsorships for tables with advertisements. We've got photo booth opportunities. We've got cups opportunities. I think the cups are actually sold. Scratch that. But there's all kind of different sponsorship opportunities, and you can go onto our website to check those out.
All right. So you're going to come out, have a great time, support St. Jude. And when you do this, you can also put the parade on your schedule, because now we got some announcements here on the parade.
Right. Well, one thing that we're doing at the ball is we have a silent and live auction. And at the live auction part of the ball, we're actually auctioning off the Grand Marshal for the parade.
Very cool.
And so when you come to the ball, you'll have an opportunity to be the Grand Marshal if you win the prize.
When is the parade this year is on?
Saturday, February 26th, downtown Mobile at 12 noon.
And it is, I mean, and y'all are rolling there. I mean, as you got your own parade license, man.
It's our own permit this year. First time we've done that. We were parading with another society. We were kind of piggybacking with them. But this year we decided that we need to go and do our own thing. So we are our full parade, and we'll have a full parade of 36 full units.
That's good stuff. And you were talking about the live auction, which got me thinking about, too, in these weeks leading up to the Joy Life Ball, you've got some auctions going on here.
Right. Each week we'd like to talk about a little bit what the new auctions or items are going to be. There's four main items, and this week we just talked about is going to be the Grand Marshal. So that's what this week you'll be in. A Grand Marshal will be driving in the front of the parade, and you will be riding in a, I guess what it is, a 1964 Ford Galaxy 500 convertible.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's a very nice car, and you'll be in the very front. You'll have beads, and you'll be throwing, and you'll be leading the parade.
So that's, but there's, we're going to talk in the next couple weeks, too, next 3 weeks, about all these different auction items as well. Let's talk about, you said go online. Where do they go? Somebody wants to buy two tickets. They want to buy, get a table. They want to do the sponsorship thing. They want to get, how do they do this?
Right. You go to joyoflifegulfcoast.org, and you go on there, and you'll have a ticket section. You'll have the parade section. You can just click on the link, and you can buy tickets. You can buy individual tables, businesses. You can have advertisements on it as well. It goes from anything you can think of to sponsorship. We have it from ad programs, cup sponsors, like I said earlier, but those are already sold out. Photo booth opportunities where you can put your logo on the photo booths. Pictures, just tables are the main things we're looking for right now. It's table sponsors.
Yeah, so we'll be there with the table. Y'all do that. Get in with us and be there at one of the tables at the Joy Life Ball. And another thing that I want to point out that you've done, since you and I met, I've got to meet these incredible kids from our area, local kids, that have been helped by St. Jude. On top of that, You clued me in. I think it was last year or something like that. You said, Sean, you're missing part of this. And part of it is that there are kids from here that are being helped by St. Jude that don't even go to Memphis. Right. Explain how this works so people know that this is happening here at home.
Well, St. Jude is really great. In fact, all the research, all the breakthroughs that they come through for childhood cancer, they willingly give that out to anybody, free, no cost. And so
doctors down here, so they do the Memphis, they figure this thing out or do whatever. And then that information comes here.
Correct. So it's a huge undertaking to think about, hey, my child's got cancer. What do we do now? Can we really get up and leave and go to St. Jude for 4, 5, 6 months? Not everybody can do that.
Right.
So the opportunity sometimes exists where you can actually go stay local, stay at your home, and go get treatment that's from St. Jude. So you're really getting the best of both worlds.
So that research is going on. So when you're funding the research at St. Jude, it is not just for those kids that end up in Memphis, but it's for kids all over our country.
Exactly.
It's a fantastic work that y'all do. I mean, obviously the name is very, well known. But I worried last year and the year before, and I talked to you about it, and I talked to so many charities locally, that while the events weren't happening because of COVID, Webb's nodding long yes, but the need was still there.
Exactly.
At all levels of charity. And I thought about y'all so much with that y'all were still doing God's work with St. Jude, but you couldn't have all that.
With our charities being in that it was St. Jude for children and cancer, and you really don't want to bring people together where they potentially get sick.
Right.
So a lot of the St. Jude events, all the St. Jude events went to all virtual. So we didn't really do much fundraising for St. Jude last year. So
but St. Jude still was seeing people and needed help. That's the thing. The one thing still going on.
It never stopped. St. Jude never stopped. And their average daily budget for their operations, $2 million a day. And that never stopped.
Daily, but wow.
$2 million.
And even though you and all the chapters all over the country weren't able to have the regular events, had to do them virtually, even at the same time, though, still do it. And that's what I want people to think about this year and charity. You know, if you're going to do X amount, maybe think about doing what you would have done last year and this year combined. Because I appreciate the situation y'all were in and other charities not being able to do your events and still having to help out.
Well, that's why we call it Party with a Purpose. So you come out to our event, we'll have a good time. You'll have a good time. It's something that's really good for you and good for the community as well. And right now until Friday the 21st, we're doing a ticket special for if you come out to the ball, go on our webpage, buy one ticket, get one half off.
Very good. So do it through the website. Can I do something right now? Can we give away some?
Sure.
Let's do this. Let's take caller number 6 as we go to the news here. My man Webb's giving me the green light. So caller number 6, got a pair of tickets for you to come out to the Joy of Life Ball. Once again, he was charitable. You've asked me to come back out and MC. I don't know why after last year's performance, but I'm back out there as well. Of course, the FM Talk gang will be out there. So y'all do this. Caller number 6 at 343-0106. I guess now we got to dial 251. We got to say that. 251-343-0106. Caller number 6, a pair of tickets to come out to the Joy of Life Ball, which is a month away, 5th,
Saturday, February 5th, at the Daphne Civic Center.
All right. Good luck. We'll get those tickets. And, Webb, thank you for what you and everybody else down here is doing with St. Jude.
Appreciate it.
All right. We'll be seeing y'all very soon. Maybe Webb can come back and see us next week and talk more about this. But we'll get you the tickets here, and then when we come back, Aaron Beasley, American Alabama Cattlemen's Association, joins us right here on Midday Mobile.